In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Jesus asked the religious leaders, "Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" The religious leaders said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." It's not your imagination if you think the gospel readings we had in the fall heading toward the end of the church year are getting grimmer and grimmer. If you sense some kind of impending spiritual disaster, well, you're right. The Gospels we've been reading are all about how those who seemingly were closest to God aren't. Actually, they're the ones who will end up calling for Jesus' crucifixion. Darkness has covered the earth, deep darkness. For a long time, centuries, this passage has been used as one of the justifications for a nasty kind of anti-Semitism. The kind of nastiness that used to prompt Catholic kids every Holy Week to go beat up Jewish kids for the reason that you killed Jesus. Now, the first problem with that argument is that it fails to take into account that Jesus of Nazareth was a good Jew. His whole life he was a good Jew. So it's not Judaism, the law, the Torah, that's the problem. And it's not Jews as a category that's the problem. But it's sure tempting to look at it that way, because if we look at it any other way, like, say, the religious people or the religious leaders, well, then it becomes our problem. As my New Testament professor said repeatedly, but what does the text say? Well, if we look at the text, we see something disturbing. See, Jesus didn't say that the owner of the vineyard would kill off those wicked, greedy tenants. The religious folks said. Let me restate that. The religious folks said that the wicked and greedy folks would be killed and the vineyard given to others. Are you familiar with the expression "hoist by one's own petard"? Well, a petard is a 17th century explosive device used, for instance, to blow a hole through the gate of a besieged fortress. To be hoisted by one's own petard is to be damaged by one's own weapon, to fall into one's own trap. The religious folks, by favoring punishment over mercy, display the opposite of the attitude that Jesus is trying to get across. Those who should be leading the celebration of God with us, Emmanuel, the Christ, are getting all tangled up in shoulds and oughts and musts and gottas and what about those people? We've had a few weeks in a row of parables. 2 weeks ago, we heard about the laborers of the vineyard where everyone was paid as arranged and some very latecomers were paid for a full day. And the others, those who got what they deserved as arranged, the usual day's wage, got cranky because someone else got a better and unmerited deal. "You have made them equal to us," they complained. Last week, we heard about two sons asked by their father to go work in a vineyard. One said no, and later goes and does it. The other said yes, but never got around to doing it. It's not fair. A lot of these parables are just not fair. And the really bad news for those of us who like to keep score, who like to assure ourselves of our own salvation because we're more religious or more faithful, more observant, better people than those others, maybe even because we bear more fruit. The bad news is that it doesn't work like that. No. Over and again, in myriad different ways, we hear that the God of all creation is not an accountant. Doesn't keep a big ledger about whether you've been naughty or nice. That's Santa Claus, not God. In these parables, which are designed to mess with our minds, get in under our defenses, pull us into the story, and then poof, show us the mirror of our own behavior. In these parables, we see God in a different way. which easily slips away too easily, as we try again and again to make God just like us, but bigger. The God we see in these parables just won't conform to our ideas of what's fair, what's correct. This God is certainly just, more than just, but also merciful. And the two are not in conflict, not really. The part we seem to have trouble with is that our own answers, our own ideas about what's just and right and fair, are too small. And our ideas about what we have earned, what we deserve, are too tied up with competition and comparison. Our culture tells us that rewards, love, all that good stuff is limited, scarce. There isn't enough of it. And it must be limited to have any meaning or value. If everyone wins, well, then it's just nothing special. But in God's economy, that's just not the case. We're rewarded without regard to our worthiness, loved beyond measure, beyond limit, such that, like the vineyard owner, God's own Son is sent to live and die as one of us, and thereby reconcile the whole world to God, tents, vineyards, and all. In today's parable, Jesus is giving the religious authorities and us not a threat that God's going to zap us or condemn us, but rather a caution, a warning of natural consequences. Like when your parents told you not to run the scissors because it could end badly. The natural consequences of the sins of greed and privilege and power, or lack of mercy and lack of justice and care for the poor and marginalized, is exactly what the religious authorities said. Death. If we live our lives from a position of scarcity and competition, protecting our assets and advantages for ourselves and our own, and failing to recognize that everything we have, our talents, our successes, and so on, is a free gift of God, given not because we've earned it, or because we deserve it, or because God loves us better than other folks, or because we have the right belief or practice, but for the welfare of everyone and all of God's creation. Everything we've received is God's. We are, at best, tenants in God's vineyard, the stewards of the bounty, and we return to God the first fruits, not the dregs, in thanksgiving for God's generosity to us, for the gift of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up his life that we might be reconciled to God. Amen.
Continuing on page 358, let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally God of the Father, God of God, light from light, true God from true God, God not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down out of heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our Savior was crucified by the Pontius Pilate. He suffered the death of his Spirit. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge. his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge all baptisms with the forgiveness of sins. We look